Will allow the department to respond to questions that we asked by members, and then we'll check if members still have other questions on the two programs that we presented. Mr. Commissioner?
Madam Chair, the presenters will answer those specific relevant questions. Madam Chair, may I just have a small bite on we have agreed, Madam Chair, to revisit the sector policing among ourselves because we feel we have not been doing well. The problem, as you say, there are areas where it's doing well. Gauteng, Madam Chair, is doing quite okay in a larger extent. Actually, we have said to the Gauteng, can they begin to move on other provinces and to see what do you do to such an extent that it has caused us a new problem in Gauteng. The sector policing officers are becoming targets because thugs are finding it difficult to do things. So sector policing people are getting shot in Gauteng because they're closing the space. So we are working on it, Madam Chair. It's definitely a correct concept, looking at it. So, but we'll have to talk on the implementation of it. So so Mawela, Motiba, and Masimula will be the leading people to answer, Ms. Nimshan.
Just on what the Commissioner is saying, that is good and well, but I just want to reiterate the point you've made. The BRR recommendations, just in terms of visible policing, there were four reports that we were supposed to get at the end of March this year. The one is on sector policing, the other one is on borderlines, their role definitions, etc. And the role definition, borderlines, the role definition at border and post of entry and exit, March 2011. Reservists, March 2011. So there were four reports just in terms of visible policing that we were supposed to get March 2011.
thanks, Madam Chair and the House. The first question on Program 5 was relating to the target. There were two questions that were mostly based on the issue of targets that has been reduced by 50%. Madam Chair, in the House, what happened here is that during 2009, that's when this indicator started. And as a result, during the audit, more strategic installations were audited, even with the help of including people from the ports assisting, in order to determine a standard. And then thereafter, as per in terms of the National Key Points Act and the minimum physical security standard document, this audit have to take place every second year. So as a result, the first year, one has to go up to determine the standard. Then thereafter, half of these installations are audited every year. That's why the 50% come from. With regard to the question of challenges and targets, as I explained before, Madam Chair, on slide 33, there are a few challenges that I mentioned. One of them is the policing of the strategic and the legislatures, including this parliament. So in that regard, there are measures that we want to put in place. We are in talks with the public works because to an extent most of the problems are interdepartmental. They are not problems that I would say I can solve alone. They are with the Department of Public Works. You'll realize that at the same parliament there is no shade where vehicles can be searched. As it is raining currently, it is a problem, especially for our members. within the cutouts that are there. But we are in communication with the Department of Public Works on those specific challenges. One of the challenges, I think, that might be known is also an internal one that I'm sorting out and planning as to how one will go and execute it, is the issue of having members from various provinces that are situated in different venues. For example, 90% of the police that are policing the Western Cape are coming from the Eastern Cape, KZN, all the various provinces, and of course they want to go back home, but when they came from the SNDF, remember they were employed, they were happy, all of them had addresses in the Western Cape when they employed, and now it is now that it is picked up that they originally come from various provinces. So that is one of the internal challenge that one is dealing with it, and with the provincial commissioners it will be attended to. There was the issue of the security bridges, as to whether how is the situation at the, some of the strategic sites. Currently the issue, there's two nuclear sites in the country which up to now we don't have major problems with regard to security. However, yes, we do some audits. One of them we have, we made the key point, the national key point owner aware of the lack of fencing, which they are busy attending to it. We will audit it again this year, and we will know how far and how safe it is. On the question of how many members are close protectors and who are they protecting, on that one we have, I don't have the exact figure, but however I know it's about 1,600, between 1,006 and 1,900 protectors, and they are protecting the executive of the country, as we know, and as well as per the RIMAS policy, those identified dignitaries that they threat against their life. The budget for the 2010-2011 is as per on slide 130, which indicates that for the 2010-2011 is 489.9 million, specifically for the sub-program VIP. And of course, there is a figure for the 2011-2012. There was also a question about the number of the 13 security breaches. The issue of the 13 security breaches, I did speak about, yes, is the baseline. So those are the security breaches that we encountered during the 2009-2010 financial year. If I'm correct, they are in the annual report. The five that I spoke about is security breaches that happened during the current financial year where we are, meaning that one would say, well, we are striving to achieve 100% protection in all time. However, yes, the 2009-2010 financial year, there was this 13 security breaches. And for this current financial year, which is information not yet audited, is 5 security breaches. Probably I would say, well, it indicates if it goes well up to, I know it's, if it goes that fashion up to tomorrow, then it will indicate, I would say, a performance, a better performance than the previous financial year. With regard to, there was a question, what is it? Yeah, there was a question about the issue of a functional purification on slide 131. What it means there is that certain functions that were within Program 5, that is Protection and Security Services, due to purification in that, for example, we know all that crime prevention belongs to visible policing, that is Program 2. But in this case, you had a program, a sub-program, Railway Police, which is a pure crime prevention function. And you also had the ports of entry under Program 5, and you had the borderline policing that was under Program 2. They all deal with the borders. So I think it was the management saw it fit that it falls where it belongs. So that Program 5 concentrates mostly on the VIP protection. Yeah, I think those are my answers, Madam Chair. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, before we move on, I believe it would fall in this, not the purification. I asked if there were any SAPS members who had guards provided by the VIP protection, and if so, how many, who are they, and what would it cost? I didn't hear those answers. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, there are members that are members of SAPS that have been protected. In this case, the National Commissioner. He has been protected for quite some while, and I know very well he don't like it, he don't want it. But unfortunately, the situation is there was a threat against his life, and the threat is still standing. We do continuously receive threat assessment updates every quarter, and it indicates still a threat. So that's the only one I know of. The cost, I won't have it, but of course it's included in my budget, but I won't have it now. Thanks.
Chairperson, can we add that it's a fluid situation, that the so-called hit list that are flying all over now, they've got the members of the South African police of them, depending on the case they're doing in the particular time. This one has got even the prosecutors of the new cases that are coming up. So it will be fluid, cannot be permanent, but at a certain given point, the members doing a particular case, especially these cases that are done at the present moment, they are producing list and list of the hit list. So those members of police that are investigating those cases, we need to take care of them.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. With regard to the timelines for the defence, taking over the borderline. Madam Chair, Honourable Members, I also feel it necessary to mention that we will still have the police represented in the border post, in the port of entry. What we are talking about is on the line between these ports of entries where the defense will be taken over. And Honourable Mr. Mleleki requested to know the timelines for Free State and Eastern Cape. The defense, they said to us, come the 1st of April 2011, they will have a company deployed at Lady Brand, that is the Free State borderline. And thereafter, they will be working. There are some homework which they are doing before they put on their platoon. They have established approximately 5 working groups. Among them is the engineering, the people who are dealing with the facilities and all those other things which they deploy, they do before they deploy. They will immediately embark on that process. For the latter part of Forest Park is part of Free State and then Eastern Cape. And then the third, come the 1st of April 2012, then they put the company again at those borderlines which I've mentioned.
Are you saying now that the in the borderlines SAPS members will be completely removed? Is this what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying this. I'm talking about the the defense which they are going to be deployed there. There will be certain functions which we, the police, will still be doing. And again, we are not going to withdraw 100% when the defense they deploy their people and us going out. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to happen in the phase-in approach because our members who are deployed in the borderline, they are being deployed in the 2 months detached duty system. So they'll still remain there while the defense, they take over their duties, continuing working parallel with the police. As soon as we see that the defense, they are now settled, then we remove those police officers who will be there, and then the defense, they will continue to do the border protection. Along the borderline, Madam Chair and Honorable Members, also take note that there are police stations which are doing the rural safety strategy, who are performing the rural safety strategy. They'll still continue to interact with the defense, which will be doing the borderline along those rural areas. They'll continue to do that.
Thank you for that. You know, the difficulty that we have immediately, we will be phasing in when? And how does this phasing in and phasing out of SAPS members relate to the budget? In terms of the budget increasing or decreasing, because you're removing SAPS members from the borderlines now. And when are we to expect that? We have a role to play to hold you accountable for what you are saying. It talks to your budget, it talks to the SAPS members. Are you, and I'm asking again because my understanding earlier on was that SAPS members will still have some roles to play along the borderlines. I'm not talking about the border ports, I'm talking about borderlines. We're told at some stage that SAPS members, in good as defense, will be there, but they cannot arrest criminals. When somebody is crossing over, they do not have the right to arrest, so SAPS members will then arrest those that are crossing over to South Africa illegally. And even that, it was not clarified to us as to how that is going to happen. And that is why now I don't understand as to what exactly are you saying in terms of removing SAPS completely, or there will be SAPS members that will remain. How is that going to talk to budget in terms of the amount of money that goes to that program? Is it decreasing? Is it increasing? What is going to happen to those SAPS members that will be removed, and when will that happen?
Madam Chair, the decision of the cabinet is a joint policing of the border. That's a decision of the cabinet. It's a fully fledged job of the South African Police border gates. And then border lines, as you say, Madam Chair, there are functions that will be forever done by the South African Police. Member of Defense, they don't arrest. They don't investigate. The question is when, Madam Chair, we were told even before the beginning of the previous financial year, it's a determination of speed by Defense. We're not going to say to them, Wozani in 10 years. It's a determination of Defense. So as South African Police, one, we can't abandon the post before they come. So we need to budget and stay as such. And secondly, Madam Chair, we have created some structures that for a foreseeable future, for sure, this budget time, they'll have to stay our members there. As the document says, it's a joint thing. It is only at the advice of that political leadership to say South African Police can be withdrawn. To such an extent, Madam Chair, that when it comes to engineering, we, as police, we can't come close to the National Defense Force and their machines and all. But there are machines that we are purchasing, including what Tshabalala was talking on some of these matters. So for sure, Madam Chair, the budget as it stands in this financial year will continue to do, even where they come, is joint rather than replacement. I think the term has been emphasized of replacement, Madam Chair. It's a joint going. Even where they have gone, we're still together, Madam Chair.
Okay.
with the in the crime prevention issues, a major crime prevention there. It's stock theft in most of the borders. Stock theft, crossing of Insango. The Sotho one is red. The KZN one is green. So you those things. But the other thing that is big there is the crossing of firearms and the crossing of stolen cars. So police are not just going to abandon there. It may take some year. If it is phasing, it's definitely not part of the present financial year, Madam Chair.
Lastly, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, is with regard to the questions which were raised last time with regard to the roles and function. We'll go back and check what happened to that document. We did respond to all those questions and clearly put the role and responsibilities of each and every role player within the border environment. We'll go back and check what happened to that document and also as to why it didn't reach your office. Thanks.
Honourable Chairperson, in terms of the railway police, there is a question, why are they not appearing in terms of there is no target mentioned in Programme 2? And the answer, Honourable Chairperson, is that everything that has been said under sub-programme crime prevention, that is reduction of crime, all the priorities within the sub-programme applies equally to the railway environment. There is a directorate within visible policy that is working on that. The fact that it does not appear, it does not mean that it is not a priority. It is a priority. On the question of the 90 days turnaround in terms of the applications for firearm licenses.
Have you ever been a politician? You sound like us.
Madam Chair, let me point out that there are so many targets between myself in terms of my own performance agreement with the National Commission. And I must point out that the fact that the railway police targets don't appear here, it does not in any way say it's not important. I'm accounting to the National Commissioner on a daily basis. Just like there's crimes in the schools, there's crimes in other environments, we are accounting on a daily basis to the National Commissioner on this. In terms of the turnaround time of 90 days, Honourable Chairperson, I must point out that we are not going to accept any incomplete application. Immediately everything is put on the table, the application is complete, day one starts. So the moment the application is complete, it is handed in, we start counting day number one. It will also be captured on the system. There was a question on the administration and implementation of the Farm Control Act in terms of...
Can I ask you, talking about firearms licenses, and who should make it a point that the information is complete? I go to the police station, I complete forms, I submit everything, and then I go home. And then? Who starts counting? And if information is not complete and I'm not told it's not complete, what then? Because really, if I were to purchase a firearm, or if I want to own a firearm right now, I would go to the police station. I have no clue as to what it is that I should bring along. Probably I will bring my ID and that is all. I go there, you say, okay, bring this and that, I bring it. But you forget to tell me that I must bring proof of residence. And then?
Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, there will not be any forgetting. In terms of the structures as well as the guidelines and the processes that we've put in place. When a person arrives at a police station, we'll say if you apply for a firearm license, a permit or authorization, this is what we want. And immediately we get that, Honorable Chairperson, and the application is completed, is handed in, day one start. If there is going to be any deviation, we definitely will take steps against the officials involved. But I must point out that one of the causes of the backlog that we're dealing with now is the fact that people handed in incomplete documents and they were told to bring those documents. Some of them did not bring, and the members, when they were looking for those people were nowhere to be found. So the bottom line now is correctly completed application form, day one start of the 90 days, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I just want to say good luck. Because exactly, the Commissioner has said over and over the past 2 days, we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect world. Now, first of all, I want to know what changed that suddenly the firearms officer at the police station will now suddenly actually check whether this thing has been completed correctly and fully. Because the mere fact is that up to now, that same officer have been sending incomplete applications to National Office, to CFR. You've just said it. That's why the backlog is there. But the hang on. The fact of the matter is also that your firearms officer at police stations have not sent through applications. Sometimes they lie there for a year. So I'm sorry, Chairperson, I just want to say good luck. I will follow this one with interest. And I hope it's not a question of we're trying to finish applications and backlogs by giving to every fifth or every sixth person, we give a license and the rest we deny. I'm sorry. The human factor is not addressed. The human factor is not addressed. The human factor at the station is not addressed. The process, there's a systematic process that needs to be put in place, and I'm not hearing that that's going to be done. And if that's going to be done, we want to know how and what money are you going to spend on it.
Chair, there have been, and I've had people come to me asking for assistance. And I have tracked back and found that the application form has sat at the station for over a year. So it hasn't even progressed to Pretoria. Should it get to Pretoria, it could sit there for another year. Should it be rejected for some bizarre reason, as has just been highlighted by my colleague here, just stamped out of irritation because there's such a huge mound of them, just reject, they go on appeal. Your appeal will only be heard by your great-grandchildren, because basically there is no way on this planet that a single judge could go through those appeals with any effectiveness at all. And people are being rejected out of hand. Hunters are being told they may not have a hunting license for a hunting rifle. Individuals who go into very threatening situations on their own say, one woman was even told to ask her husband to protect her. She doesn't need a firearm. I mean, we are getting the most ridiculous rejections. We've had people trying to compete in the Olympic shotters competition, a youngster who wasn't allowed to go because his license was rejected. So that is the sort of reality we're looking at. We have members of the staff around here who have applied 3 years ago and are still sitting with a little. We've been told we might as well just keep the receipt, keep it for 5 years and get another receipt because you will never see a license. A renewal, and the new licenses, heaven help you when you'll see them. We know. At some of the stations we go to, they say, I have never seen a license. What does it look like? Because they hand out receipts. The licenses never come back to the stations. So please don't tell us. This is all done and dusted. You haven't even started. I rue the day we ever passed that legislation because it is unimplementable. It's just never going to work. It's an administrative nightmare. And it's not working. It's not working, it hasn't worked, and it will not work.
Chair, I'm wanting to raise something that the General raised earlier in terms of railway police. Can I raise it now? May I raise it? In terms of the railway police, that particular sector. Now, Chair, I've heard the reason given why it's not put as a separate target. And one of the reasons that's given is there's a whole lot of different targets. But you know, this intervention, this particular unit, was brought back because of the situation that we've had and been experiencing on trains, the crime situation on trains. Now, I really want to appeal that we don't just simply leave it as included in something else, but I think this does need to be, it was a separate indicator before. I don't see what the problem is. I don't see what the problem would be to indicate it as a separate indicator and as a separate target. And so I don't buy the reason given. And I'm really appealing that the railway police and the targets be indicated separately under Program 2. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, there is a perception that when we ask questions, we don't know what we're asking for. I will use a very simple question. I've renewed my license in 2008. Nobody has said anything to me from one police station up to today. I've got my old license firearm. Nobody has said anything to me. I find it very strange when the general says like this, because that, you see, this question, this answer, impact to the minister. That's why the minister is being sued, because of these answers. You see, I think we are trying to work together here, your portfolio committee and the department. We're trying to help each other here. But if we are getting answers that will impact to the people outside to sue the department at the end of the day because of conflict information that is coming out, then we have a problem. That's where our problem lies. That's why I'm saying I don't buy the good luck thing, where Ms. Van Beek is saying. Mm-hmm. The good luck thing, I don't buy it, because we have to get a straight answer. If there is a problem must be raised, that this is a problem. If there is no problem, then what is the problem? Where do we start? Because the bill, the act is there, and it has to be implemented, and it's affecting people outside. We cannot say that we are you are being told that bring something else, and when we are not found somewhere. What does it mean we are not found? You leave your home number, you leave your address, you leave your cellular number, you leave everything. But what does it mean that we are not found? I find it very strange.
Madam Chair?
Yeah. What members are saying is based on what they know, what is raised by people every day, what we find when we visit police stations, what those DFOs tell us when we are there. So it's a complete contradiction of what you're saying, sir, unfortunately. Complete. But if it was here, that starting from now, this is what we are going to do over a 3 months period, another 3 months period, probably would then be able to begin to believe what you are saying. But it's not even there. So we don't know as to how you're going to correct this thing within this time frame you are telling us about it. Police stations, it's a complete, even talk to your DFO, call them, go to police stations and talk to them. They'll tell you that, we're so correct. If they do not tell you because they are afraid of the salute, well, they will keep quiet. The best that they can do is to keep quiet. But that is exactly what we get when we go to police stations. And as a matter of fact, people are complaining. They are writing letters to complain to us about their licenses and so on and so forth. Some have been referring them to the department and so on. It's just, I don't know. And that is why you're asking this question. It's not like really we are asking, because we are public representatives. We cannot talk the language which people are not talking out there. And people out there, they are frustrated. Period. National Commissioner.
Madam Chair, I think we are one on the problems about this unit of the service. Maybe where we're not one is after conceding what is happening. You remember, Madam Chair, that there was an announcement by the Minister in November of a turnaround. Long list of things have been happening, and we are trying to do those things. One was to change the head of this unit, National, Madam Chair, who was a god unto himself when it comes to these matters. We had to change because that problem was coming from head office down to the station. That change has happened up there. But moving to that is DFOs, Madam Chair. The provincial commissioners have been taken on board to say this function is attached to you from now on. Because what has been happening, DFOs has been by the way. People will be taken to throw there if they had nothing to do on that day. Tomorrow, we'll get another one. Who is free today, or whoever wants to go and spend his time? It's becoming a permanent designated firearm officer. It's becoming that, Madam Chair. Which the part of it is to take that one on board to say if it is brought, look it there and then, and all shortcomings to be done on the particular first day because people are designated and they are there. We're not there, Madam Chair, on doing that in the turnaround. We're not there, I agree. But we are moving towards that, Madam Chair. And unfortunately, it's going to take time because of the huge backlog. Huge backlog. But what we are trying to do is to work parallel on backlog and the new applications. The initial thinking was that we'll deal with the backlog and then we'll go. Said no. I know some people have been raised as unfair to say 6 years back, we are 3 weeks, we are right. But we are trying to do it parallel, going there. Fully considered problems. But more than that, Madam Chair, we are trying to give the report to the minister on weekly basis on this matter and updating ourselves, including Thursday, where we're meeting again to try and resolve all blockages that are there going forward to this matter. Maybe what happened here, we spoke on the ideas rather than what is actual now, but I can assure you, we are moving towards that ideal because it's a well-considered, well-documented problem, Madam Chair, that we are working on it. And Madam Chair, we have instructed to create the structures, permanent structures dealing with this matter, putting more kennels on it to such an extent that we have extended, Madam Chair, the signing delegation even to Lieutenant Kennels, to increase the structures, and that structure is ready. One is signing it to say this structure must go there and work on that, and again, we never have it. Consider it, Madam Chair, but addressing it.
I know you want to move off this issue, but again, I would like to know, General, and I hear what you're saying, but since you've started with the turnaround strategy, does part of your report to the minister include the increase in appeals? Have you talked to the appeal board since you started this process? Because I think that is important as well. Because there are many examples, and I'm sure all of us do constituency work and all of us get those examples, where people are applying for a license 100% correct in terms of the requirements, passed everything, competency test, everything, requiring for self-defense, rejected on the basis that prove your need for self-defense. Now, that is a standard issue that people are getting, standard requirement that they're getting back. The problem, and I'm going to say it again, and I've been saying it for years, the problem is not the legislation. The problem is the regulations. There are masses of regulations for this act that is unnecessary. The act never intended for any police officer to have the right to decide if a person apply and is correct and he for self-defense. I apply for self-defense. I've passed my competency test. There's nothing disqualifying me. What gives a police officer, and I don't care whether he's a lieutenant, a colonel, or whether he's a brigadier, or whether he's a general, the right to reject me? Yeah. What gives them the right to do that? And I'm sorry. I think it would be very interested for your own turnaround to go and speak to the appeal board and ask them whether they found an increase in appeals since you started this process. Because I'm pretty sure you're going to see there's a huge number of increase, and it's going to be mainly because we've seen it. People are sending the stuff through to us. Reject proof need for self-defense. Then it's in an area which is known for high crime. So I don't believe the solution to this problem is more staff, a higher ranking staff only. Unless you get your systems right, unless you simplify the regulations around this act, unless you simplify the national instructions, unless you get the system that talks from the process where the person comes to the station, right to the end, start end process. Unless you get that in place, you're not going to solve this problem. Why is it not possible for the DFO to capture the application on a computer program right at the station? If he missed something, the computer rejects and say you've missed this piece of information. So there's no applications that are not fully completed. Why are we working in the 16th century with this when we, and I'm telling you, Scripture, the amount of money that was spent on information technology for this has been huge. Ring-fenced amounts for the first 3 years of this this act. So that's why I'm saying, and the chairperson is correct, we're not raising these, and Honourable Law was correct, we're not raising these issues out of being ignorant. If there's one thing that we know, it's this thing, because it takes up a huge amount of our time as public representatives when we do constituency work. I've got here on my phone again messages, people requesting to see me around this issue. If I've got to meet one more person on this thing, I really. And that's why I say, Chair, maybe it's necessary, I think Commissioner spoke to it to some extent, that at some point we get a full presentation on how this turnaround is going to happen. Because I don't believe it's simply throwing people at the problem. I think the problem is regulations. I think the problem is national instructions. And I think the problem is systems. I don't know why we're working. And General, the fact that you've said that CFOs was by the by. Today I don't know what to do with Constable Angie Molabatsi. So I sent her today to be the CFO. Is again disregard by SAFs for legislation that they must implement. Because the legislation was clear. The legislation said a designated firearms officer whose work would be exactly this. And what you've just said is that it has been ignored. It has been ignored. And we've seen that, because suddenly these guys have to deal with liquor licenses as well. And now we've added second-hand goods as well for them to deal with. It said a designated firearms officer, a designated vehicle. That's what the Act says.
No, Madam Chair, I'm getting a little bit confused, Madam Chair. Firstly, dealing with the problems that are raised is exactly, Madam Chair, what you are saying we're dealing with. Well, I don't have a proper figure, but the figure that has been given to me is minus plus 200 that has been given, and I'm told the trends are being analyzed. Madam Chair, there would be obvious reasons to reject you as an applicant of a firearm if you have a criminal record. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say you won't get fire license. So anybody who works with SEPS will understand. So the question is, why does it reach national office to be told from national office that anyway we are not going to get it because you've got a criminal record? That one is known. If you have lost your firearm, Madam Chair, it's unaccounted that you had before. We are not going to get a new license firearm. Did I hear? Madam Chair, if you have lost your firearm and it's not accounted for, it shows that you have, but you can't account for the other one. You're not going to get the next fire. So there are those obvious things that they don't need to reach the national office that DFOs must know and tell you that, sorry, don't even expect the 90 days. So there are obvious ones, Madam Chair. But let me put it here. There are those that are given that information and they bypass the system to ask other people if to say as if they are not given when they know that they've been given the reason of not getting them. There are those, Madam Chair. Maybe let's hold back on that one for now. Some other people to fight the battles that they have lost genuinely. Because if you have got a criminal record, you have lost your battle genuinely. So I have no reason to go to some other place, to the Member of Parliament or anywhere, to say they are not giving me the license firearm when you know the reason for that. So that's why I was saying they are getting analyzed, even those complaints that are raised, Madam Chair, to find if they are genuine, they should have finished down there and all that. The member raised the issue of the computer, the systems. We know what the problem we're facing. What company is this? Wemac. Lot and lot of money that was put there, Madam Chair, for the systems to be up to date. I'm told it's a problem because the company, long before it finishes, has come back for more money. The company has come back for more money even before it works on that. So I think there's a legal action, legal proceedings on that one, which is delaying our own systems. And this has been raised time and again that we would have loved. And we're told that if those systems were in place, it would be like yogurt to deal, how smooth it would be, just like yogurt, to deal with this kind of. But for the absence of that system, which we have legal hinges around it, so it's a problem, Madam Chair. But Madam Chair, I was saying, we have called the provincial commissioners and we say the DFO program is your specialized program, provincial commissioners, to take on board what the Honourable Member is saying, to have the dedicated, it's not there, Madam Chair, it's not there, I agree. But we say, we're giving you this time, have the dedicated, even the offices, because they don't even have offices. It's by the way that they are there. As I'm saying, who is free today? Tomorrow it would be you, today it's me, tomorrow it's her, whoever is there. Sometimes not even know that you are free to go to the, what are you going to do? But say no. They must be designated, Madam Chair, as the word says, the DFOs. They must be trained, they must be resourced to work on this thing. Is exactly what one is saying, that there is a problem, Madam Chair, but we are working on the problem. There is a problem, we are working. We hope to finish soon and then going forward. We've been given the report about the appeals, the analysis of the appeals and all that, and we're trying to take it structurally to try and fix it, including what I have said. people losing genuine battles and bypassing the system to get, to mobilize on their behalf that they fight the battles they know that they've genuinely lost.
No, I think we must be careful now, because there are also those that genuinely have a problem. We mustn't create the impression that people that come to parliamentarians, and they've got the right to come to parliamentarians, it's part of our work, you know that all of them are people that are trying to win a battle that they've lost legitimately. I think we must be very careful to create that impression.
Why, there is some.
In fact, there are many who genuinely come to us, who will write letters. They will give you proof that you need to protect yourself. I mean, you don't have a license because you've got to prove that you need to protect yourself. Come from Ilukwatin, I drive at night, I'm a member of parliament, stay alone at home, and I apply for a license, and I'm told proof that you have to protect myself. What do I do then? How do I do it? I don't have any criminal record. I'm just citing an example. And they are there. And National Commissioner Real, to be truthful about this, is that many of those that will come to us are genuine. Those that are not genuine, they will try other means, but those that are genuine, they will come to us because they think they are not being treated fairly. And when you look at those things, you really believe that there's something seriously wrong here. There's no reason why should this person get this response. Everything is there, but the response is saying something else. And that is why we are saying you probably need to, I think we'll have to have a discussion again on this matter. We did have, but probably still have to, because it is causing unnecessary challenges for SAPS. It's something that probably could be managed better. And I'm hoping that the turnaround strategy you're talking about will yield positive results. Can I say that in one of the police stations that we visited in the Western Cape, one of the DFOs indicated that there is some improvement in the recent applications, but the old ones were still a problem. He indicated that to us when we were interacting with that DFO. And if that can be speeded up and we can actually know the your turnaround strategy, we'll be happy about that. But it's something that can be improved. Over to you, sir.
Jefferson, can I go to the next two questions? The first one was on the Nyaope. What? Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. In respect of Nyaope, that there is no target, because of the SAPS prioritizing this Nyaope and Hunga, we are now going to keep, in the next financial year, look at that, and I think in the 2012-2013, there will be targets set for that. Lastly, in respect of the Liqua, the increase by 10%, the question was, what do you refer to? The Liqua we're talking about in the increase in the 10% is all Liqua. It's the shebeens, it's the drink in the public. It also includes the legal outlets. The legal outlets that are acting illegally, we're also going to confiscate their Liqua. Thank you, Chairperson.
Still questions outstanding. The baseline issue. The baseline figures. The question was, why are you using 2009-10 baseline figures and not 2010-11?
Madam Chair, because it was discussed in the management. Maybe the half statement was said by the member herself to say it's audited, it's fixed, it's just there. Let's take on this one, because which means we'll be using the three quarter figures to formulate the next financial year baselines if we use the year that is not finished, Madam Chair. December is 1 month that is peak, Madam Chair. December, January, that is peak on crime generation and crime fighting. If it is going to be, which we don't refuse, it will give us a very soft kind of baselines that might tremendously change in the last quarter of the year. So, but if we need to use that, because we have created this culture of using the fixed audited as they are, but it might cause us problems the way it would be solved, because let's say, Madam Chair, the season of this macro goods would be the first 2 months of the year, which might create a very different than the audited and the fixed one that has finished. But the members, if they say we need to move to those unfinished, the three quarter ones, it could be, Madam Chair.
Jefferson, I've got a problem with what the explanation given. First of all, it's a projected figure. So you're using the 9 months, and then you project what your 12 months would be. So we're not talking about 9 month figure only. We're talking about a 12-month figure, even though it's an unaudited figure. What the Commissioner is now asking us to do is that we must allow for a 4% to 7% decrease or a 2% decrease over 2 years. Because now the baseline figure is moved a year back, and that we can't do. There's no way that we can say we used the baseline figure 2019 and now 2011-12, this is what our target is going to be. Because then all these targets that we've got, 4% to 7%, 2%, 3%, are over a 2-year period. If I'm wrong, say it to me, but I don't believe I am. And I don't believe that the projected figure, as it is here, is supposed to be a 9-month figure. That's why it's called a projected figure. You use your 9 months to project what your 12 months is going to be. That is my biggest concern, and that's why I asked that question. I'm not asking it because I want SAPS to have softer targets. I think that we've made clear before lunch. We don't want SAPS to have softer targets. But we want SAPS to improve year by year, and not have a 2% improvement over a 2-year period. Chairperson, then there's another question outstanding, and that's the question of why were certain crimes clustered together?
Madam Chair, because it's a decision that we need to take, especially on the last point, that not the next question that we need to take. Madam Chair, we are saying there would be seasonal crimes. I hear the projection. Let's take, Madam Chair, what we say it will be the rigid figures plus 3%. That's what we're saying on the projection going to the new financial year. Now, projection of some crime change huge come January, Madam Chair. Some of those things will be the drugs finding, because they use the lull season for the movement of drugs when everybody's Christmas and all that. Hence, there is a figure that we have given, I think it's 72,000 mandrakes. This year, 2 weeks back, we found 300,000 mandrakes here in Cape Town, which already kills that kind of. And you will never project that you will find it 300,000. But the concept is understood that if you want to find most of your drugs, January, February, because they have been using the lull period of Christmas to move those things, that's a concept about the organized crime, especially movement of the drugs. Now, if you end up in the 3 in the three quarter. You might leave this peak that will help you next year to see how far you have gone. Hence we say plus 3% on the previous one. We're not just saying this is a baseline. For the following year baseline is the previous one plus 3%. That will have to add on that one. We're not working on it for the... So, but if it is said that let's use the 9 months instead of what we have had, let it be, let it be clear that way, and then we understand that we use it, which in 3 months' time, some of the trends, they change drastically, Madam Chair.
Again, I'm not saying the 9 months. Generally, you keep on referring to 9 months. It's a projected figure. So it's 9 months as the base that you use to project what your year performance is going to be. It's not a 9 month figure, it's a 12 month figure, but it's known to be a projected figure. I'm looking for the slide on the drugs. Can't remember where it is. Example, what you're now asking us to do is to accept a 3% recovery on stolen and lost firearms based on 2009-2010, not based on 2010-2011. So you're asking us basically to accept 3% over 2 years. So what you're actually asking for us on an annual performance plan is a 1.5% acceptance. Same goes for the drugs, illicit drugs. It's not my decision to make. All I'm saying is I don't know how we can accept a 1.5% increase per year, because that's what it comes down to.
Madam Chair, if I may respond, it was done like this previous years too. But the new indication in the framework for strategic and
you're
annual performance...
You're saying the previous years, are you saying the projected figure?
It was done like this. But now the new framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans, it is indicated that we can have the 9 months figure and a prediction for the last month. But now, this is now for the new plans we will develop and we will do the predictions as such.
Chairperson, the difference here is that what you talk about 2009 and 2010, there is nothing from 10 to 11. Then we are projecting the target of 2011-2012. I think that's where the basic of the problem comes from. That 3%, it's stretching two financial years in between. That's where the question arises. It's not that it was done every financial year. Here in this slide you have. It's 2009 to 2010. There is no 2010 to 2011 here. Then you have 2011 to 2012. Then you still have 3%. I think that's the basis of the
of Van Veen's question. If I listen to her correctly, that's the basics of what we're talking about. Therefore, you can't be saying that we have been doing that for all the years, because there is a year that is missing there. In other words, by saying that, you mean you, in that other year, you are now dropping, coming down. That's why we come back to the down south figure of projection and so on. That's the problem.
In fact, annual performance plans review recent developments in the operational environment.
To refer to the comments made by Treasury on the annual performance plan, which Treasury also say. The format for reporting program performance indicators is not adhered to. For example, all tables should have medium-term target headings. It's not there. No quarterly targets for performance indicators are provided. No information is provided on details of material changes. Okay, that's a policy issue which we've already addressed. The fact that when railway police and these guys were shifted, it was supposed to be in your performance plan so that we could see it. The APP is meant to provide performance targets for the current year, the budget year, and each of the two financial years following. In most cases, no targets are provided for 2012-13, 2013-14 years. And then I think very importantly is the fact that Treasury also say the targets of certain performance indicators in the APP differ from those provided in the 2011 estimates of national expenditure. And ironically, it's that one that I'm still waiting for the answer, clustering of crimes, reduction of number of contact crimes, reduction of the number of true crimes, number of recoveries as a result of policing stolen and lost firearms, stolen and robbed vehicles.
I just want to read this so that you can tell me what it means. Baselines and targets. Institutions are expected to state the present baseline. This is National Treasury instructions. Institutions are expected to state the present baseline in respect of each strategic objective and program performance indicator. In most instances, the baseline is the level of performance recorded in the year prior to the planning period. Most instances, the baseline is the level of performance recorded in the year prior to the planning period. Institutions are required to set targets relating to the budget year and the MTEF in respect of the strategic objectives and program performance indicators contained in the annual performance plans. The annual targets for the budget year should be broken into the quarterly targets, except if this is not appropriate. Proposed table formats are provided in English. Commissioner Skate, what does this mean?
Chairperson, you want me to respond on it and not the strategic people? Okay. This is a similar approach to the numerical approach. You have three years backwards, current year you're in, 3 years in front of you. It's a seven-column numerical target. In simplistic terms, what they've done is they have also now moved to a multi-year performance indicator and target scenario, in essence. That is what that thing actually describes.
In most instances, the baseline is the level of performance recorded in the year prior to the planning period. Can you explain that in Zulu, Commissioner Skett?
Not in Zulu, Chairperson. Well, in simple language. Well, as it is there, it refers to the year you're in, the current.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask you to repeat the phrase again? I don't have the phrase in front of me.
In most instances, the baseline is the level of performance recorded in the year prior to the planning period.
That's the current year.
Madam Chair, you were right when you said you must explain in Zulu. Because myself, English confuses me a little bit here. When you say, Madam Chair, institutions are expected to state the present baseline in respect of each strategic objectives and program performance indicator. In most instances, the baseline is the level of a performance recorded in the year prior to the planning period. So we plan in for next financial year, we plan 2011-2012. And then the previous recorded year is 2010-2011. So that's that. But here, the planning takes place before 11, 12 starts. So you plan on 10, 11. And the previous year of 10, 11 is 9, 10. That's what I'm saying. That is a question of interpretation of English. The previous, Madam Chair, we plan for 11, 12. We plan it. 11, 12 is planned during 10, 11. And the year then is the previous year. It can't be 10, 11 because we are planning in the year 10, 11. So the previous then will be 9, 10. The previous.
Let us go back a little bit.
I want to close this matter because I don't think that I want to really close this matter and I think we are agreeing that the baseline should be that of the previous year. Because otherwise it takes us to 2 years back, and we cannot have such old baseline used, you know, today. There is a year in between. It takes us back, and I think that is what we need to look into, and I think the department, yeah, that is why I was asking for a Zulu explanation on this one. Then they gave me the English explanation, but I think it was Zulu explanation that you gave. I've closed the matter. Can we proceed then? Any other question that was not responded to? Suffering of the crimes?
The clustering of the crimes in the targets, as I have indicated, is according to the prescriptions that we have now received from the JCPS. As I've already indicated, strictly speaking, that clustering is like Chinese boxes. You cluster your serious crime, that's the 20. You then cluster your contact crimes within that, and within that is the true crimes. Now, the footnotes that you refer to, that is actually the problem. Because if you cluster your serious crimes, 17 of those crimes, we want a decrease. Those we want a decrease all these years. On three of them, mainly then the drugs, driving under the influence, and illegal firearms and ammunition, you want an increase. Now the only way out of that is that even if you have an increase there, you can actually then add it to your target. That is now, if that prescription stays, that we have to measure it like that, then we will work still for an increase there, but you have to neutralize it with even a bigger decrease on the other crimes. The same that when it comes to the sexual offenses as part of the contact crime, we have already said that we will have, when we release the crime stats in the previous year, we have already indicated that we will, and there's a lot of people who is asking for this, that we will have to purify the sexual offenses. We will have to divide them in two categories, and we are busy with that. Taking out those sexual offenses which are police-generated, through actions of the police generated, like the prostitution or the sex work and the pornography related crimes, that will then be put under a subcategory of the crimes generated by police action, and the others, which will then purely be rape and sexual assault, which will be the violent contact crime, will stay with contact crime. That we are working in, and I think we will in the annual report, when there's an annual report, it will clearly be reflected like that.
Can I then make a firm suggestion for the committee that in terms of the, we accept CJS cluster told you to report in that way, that's fine. But then we also asked you that they divide those crimes in terms of reporting purposes, for reporting purposes and for monitoring purposes by this committee, that you then also divide the serious crimes in terms of those that are dependent on police action and those that are reported as a result of crime.
That is, I can see them agreed.
We can do that. We can do that, Madam Chair.
Okay. Mr. Commissioner, have you responded to all questions?
Madam Chair, not exactly. The equitable share, we have not offered the honorable member, Mr. Lekhato. I unfortunately is not here, Madam Chair, to find exactly, because I think the equitable share will be according to the national standards, that provinces with more, with huge, bigger population will get even on the budget treasurer, that's how it's done. I don't think, Madam Chair, that you can build same number of police stations in Gauteng and Northern Cape. So that's why I don't get very well the concept. But in Gauteng, we are expected to build more police stations, and you are expected to send more police than Northern Cape, Madam Chair. I'm sure the equity will be in ratio and proportionality. I agree on that one, but to say it's flat equity, if you send five in Gauteng, send five in Northern Cape, send five in KZN, I don't think that our equity can work on that. So it's a proportionality that I think will always. So more members will go to Gauteng, for obvious reasons, besides the big crime, but even in terms of population, we'll go there. If more members go there, more cars will go there, more guns will go there. That's how the equity. And in terms of population, though, it's a very vast kind of a province. You drive sometimes 6 hours between stations, but the crux of the matter is that there are no people in Northern Cape as you drive that 6 hours between the police stations. You can't send equal number than it would be. I think the equity is looked after as per proportionality, Madam Chair.
Chair, I'm still waiting for an answer on which a question I asked yesterday, repeated this morning, the cost of the National Police Day in total, both this year and last year. Thank you.
Chairperson, I do not have the information currently with me, and I think we will have to address that in writing on the police day. In terms of departmental management, we're still waiting for the figures to, the reports to print. I've checked during the break, Chairperson.
Okay. Maybe this one would have been a relevant question to ask, to have been asked yesterday. The issue of vacancies, National Commissioner, which I spoke to. What is happening then? We should ensure that posts do not remain vacant for years and years.
Madam Chair, I think they can help me on, because what happens here, we have a target of percentage that we don't go below this one. And then within that percentage, we but the head of personnel is here to help us on that one.
Jefferson, I'm not sure to which station are you referring. If we can get the details, we can check what is the problem. But in the broader public service, and it's also applicable to our department, that you once the post become vacant, you have 6 months to fill it, so it must be filled in that period. So we apply the rules in the public service. The Department of Public Service have articulated this, and we also have to apply by those rules. So after you advertise it, it must be full within 6 months again.
Yes, Commissioner Stander, if that was the situation, believe you me, I would buy any brandy and drink it just for the first time, really. Yeah. I would do it. Because if you go to... Really, I would do it. If you go to... Any police station, West KZN, but I think even here in the Western Cape, you have very strategic positions that are standing empty for 2 years. And they will tell you that we send motivations to the province, and the province sends those to national. And the national decides that this one we're going to fill, and this one you're not going to fill. So you have, it's if you go to stations, Commissioner Stander, get our reports as well, because you can get that information from our reports, and just read that. You have very strategic positions that are standing empty, not for a year. Because if I said a year, that would be a short space of time. It would be 2 years. And nobody knows as to when that post will be. And I'm talking about funded posts. They are standing empty for years, and they are waiting for national office to report, and the national office decides. That's what they will say, and it's police station level. National office then decides as to which one they are going to fill, and the rest they will remain empty. If you were ready to get our reports on all stations that we have visited, this is one thing that you say. And that is why I thought I should ask that even today.
I think Commissioner Stella must be, she must be very careful on this matter, because if you look at the president's address, state of the nation address to the House, it directs all the departments that within a reasonable time, all strategic positions must be filled. Commissioner, you must be very careful on answering this question, because its impact directly to what the President has said, and which we are really holding him on that what he has already said. If you are therefore contradicting him, or you are saying something totally different, and then what we find on the ground, it will be totally contrary to what the President is saying. Be really careful, Chair. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, National Commissioner and your delegation. Tomorrow we are meeting V475, and can I request that we start at 9 instead of 9:30? we'll be focusing on detective services and crime intelligence, but National Commissioner, because you are also a department, maybe tomorrow you will tell us as to how, as a department, are going to contribute in job creation, as expected, because we were told that all departments have to contribute, so you'll tell us whether you will be able to do that, or no, you are excluded, or you already have contributed, and how are you going to do that. Thank you very much. This one meeting.
Madam Chair, it's a small request. We'll try to say to people that are supposed to be there if they can try to fly today, because they would have understood starting 9:30. We'll try to push them. So if one or two of them, they come a little bit late, it should be understood that we'll be trying to push them to sleep here.
In that event, let's start at 9:30 then, so that we don't change people's lives. We don't inconvenience people. So let's start at 9:30 tomorrow. Thank you very much. But we still are having another meeting with the Secretariat.